Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Well. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live, Yahweh's Radio. We live from the bottom part of the Sabbath day. We live at count one as we speak. Two, three, four, five, six. By now we live on Blog Talk as we speak. We live on Pal Talk as we speak. This is the day the Almighty Yahweh created and made for me and you. We will rejoice. He be glad in it. Remember, right now, you dwelling in the temple of learning. Learning. Always be quick to hear, slow to speak. Always be ready to hear something, not to tell something. On the bottom part of the Sabbath day, on this great teaching, our job, the tribe of Judah, that is scattered four corners of the earth, is to wake up the 12 tribes of Israel. Through Yahweh.
Thank you,
Pastor.
That was all about that.
That's what it helped me for, Adam Preacher. That's what that's an example of having to help me. All the precepts, how to help. That's what it means by to be a help me to others.
That's
an example of that.
That's
Exactly.
But I am a greater being than that for the world, which the Father has given me the world. The name that I use of me, that the Father you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his face.
Father John asked the question to have a greater witness than John for the works which the Father, therefore the Father has given him to sin, therefore the Son has sin.
Daniel,
chapter 7, verse 9, read. I beheld the throne
were
cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like a beautiful throne was like a smoking flame.
A fiery flame. So now, that's why we know you ain't, because when he's sitting in his throne, he's going to be, because what is he? What is he? What is he? What is he? How about 424 first to get started? What is he? What is he? Remember, Son is the image of him in his strength. So what is he? 424 of Deuteronomy. What is he, Sarah? What is he? Deuteronomy 424.
Chapter 4, verse 24 reads, for the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, thy Yahuwah, is a consuming fire.
He's a what?
A consuming fire.
A consuming fire. That's why you ain't seen him. If you see him in this thing right here, this thing don't want to be making no consuming fire, kid. This thing we got right here.
Yahuwah.
This body we got right here, kid, don't want to be around no consuming fire, do we?
Yahuwah.
So you don't have to see his body right here around a consuming fire, right?
Yahuwah.
That's why you ain't seen him. Because if you see him, you got to have your spiritual body in. Because he's going, he not going to come with his strength. His strength is a consuming fire. So that means you got to figure out how to get one of them kind of bodies to deal with the Father on the eighth day. This ain't going to be able to deal with it right here. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah. Hey. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yahuwah. Understand, therefore, this day that the Yahuwah, thy Yahuwah, is he which governs over before you as a consuming fire.
He's a what?
As a consuming
fire. Hallelujah.
That's what we're trying to tell you. This is what we're trying to tell you. See, this is the game changer trying to put on paper now. See, if you got a better hand, you better have got to know something. You be sitting around on no nothing. You got to have a better hand than you might say, oh, where that at? Better hand. Okay.
Oh, yeah, boom.
That's what I'm about. So now that's a great precept. What that was, 9 verse 3?
Deuteronomy.
9 verse 3 is that precept to, what was it? 424?
Yeah, I'm doing 424.
Now I need one more out of this. Now give me Exodus. Now give me Exodus chapter 19. And give me the game thing. Now give me Exodus 19.
Hallelujah.
Now which one I want? Okay, go ahead. Just about the same thing. Exodus 19. They're going to say about the same thing. When you came down.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's called overkill.
Yahuwah.
That's what you want to do. You want to convince you out, show them soundly, we are the one. We are the one. Where is the next, what is the extra what? Where he make that statement again. Where is it? Where is it? Extra what? 19 what? Yeah, 18 what? Yeah.
Going to the book of Exodus chapter 19, reading, seeing them. Verse 18 reads, and now Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Yahuwah descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and Yahuwah answered him by a voice. 20. And the Yahuwah came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mountain. And the Yahuwah called Moses up to the top of the mountain. And Moses, 21. And the Yahuwah.
Wait, I'm looking for that one here. What's one? What's in red already?
Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
What verse is that?
18. 18 reads, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Yahuwah descended upon it in the fire.
And Yahuwah done what?
He descended upon it in fire.
He descended upon it in fire. So remember, when they make strength, you have to have this material you got right now, you're going to cut it.
Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah. Let me greet you one more time, that daughter Yahuwah. We're doing a mic check real quick up on you. Yahuwah bless you, there, Princess daughter Yahuwah Israel.
And Yahuwah be with you, Prince Makai Israel of C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, all right. We're just trying to get this microphone out checked in. Keep the ball game rolling, brother. Time to just grab our work on it.
All right.
Daughter Yahuwah, give me the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, read. And this word, yes, once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain.
Read verse 29, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29.
For our Yahuwah is a consuming fire.
Uh-huh. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. So our Yahuwah is a consuming fire. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Right, Brother Titus, what we reading there, Brother Nehemiah? Now we're going back to what we was at, so we're going to put a few more things on the table. That was it? That's all we got out of that? Okay. So let's keep the ball game rolling now. All right, Brother Titus, let's keep the ball game rolling. That's your show.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Let's give one more precept for that. That's consuming fire real quick. So we got the top. We got the top three hit precepts, right? Anything else, come after. All right. The key, the game changer is get the hit precept. You want the best, the hit. Give me Exodus chapter 24, verse 17. Exodus chapter 24, verse 17. Lord of Yahuwah Israel. Yahuwah be with you there. Lord of Yahuwah Israel.
Yahuwah bless you.
C. Roy.
Titus Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Now say that again. Yeah. Exodus chapter 24, verse 17.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Exodus chapter 24, verse 17. Read. And the sight of the honor of the Yahuwah was like devouring fire on the top of the mount and the eyes of the children of Israel. Verse 18.
That's it. That's all I want out of that.
Okay.
That's all I want out of that. That Exodus 24, verse 17. All right.
Read that one more time, daughter.
The book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse 17 reads, And the sight of the honor of the Yahuwah was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel.
Hallelujah,
Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Yahuwah.
All right. precious mother, be at Israel, to see Roy, Ali Yahuwah. Ali Yahuwah,
bless you. Ali
Yahuwah. All right.
Okay.
All right, let's get the ball game rolling real quick.
All right, who else on the line?
Okay. All right, we keep the ball game rolling real quick. All right. Yeah. All right. All right. That's right. All right. President Tori Yapa Israel. All right. We're going to talk about, we're going to also going to put on the table.
Put it on the table.
That was covered up.
Put it on the table.
It's all right. Need some Luke chapter 12, verse 12.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12, reads, Luke 12, 12, reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
That's right. The righteous spirit will teach you in that same hour what you ought to say. What you ought to say. All right, Give me that Sirach chapter 21. Pick it up at verse 15.
Sirach chapter 21 and 15. If a skillful man hear a wise word, he will condemn it.
No. Read that right. Read that right. Start over again. Hallelujah.
Sirach chapter 21 and 15. If a skillful man hear a wise word, he will commend it and add unto it. But as soon as one of no understanding hears it, it displeases him, for he casts it behind his back.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what a skillful man to do. A wise word. You would hear a wise word, a skillful man. Okay, what's the skillful man start with? Which one of the tribes is the skillful man? Then we can read. Who does the skillful man start with? All right, let's go to the book of Exodus real quick. We're going to start there. We're going to the book of Exodus. All right, we're going to the book of Exodus real quick. We're going to the book of Exodus. All right. I'm going to get warmed up here. And, give me the book of Exodus chapter 36. We're going to start there. Give me Exodus chapter 36. We're going to pick it up at verse 1. Exodus chapter 36, verse 1. Prince, brother Nehemiah Israel of C. Roy, I'm becoming a teacher out of camp 1.
Exodus chapter 36 and 1. Then brought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every false minded man in whom the Yahweh put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Yahweh had commanded.
Hallelujah. Now let's go drop back
and
let's read 35.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Exodus chapter 35. Right there. Exodus chapter 35. We're going to pick it up. All right, Exodus chapter
35.
All right, we're going to pick it up at verse 10. Exodus chapter 35, verse 10.
Exodus 35 and 10. And every wise minded among you shall come and make all that the Yahweh hath commanded.
All right. All right, we're going to skip down real quick. We're going to skip down verse 29. Get down verse 29. Read down the verse until we get our point there. About verse 35. 29 to verse 35.
Well, you can't at 29, but you go get your hit in verse number 30.
Hallelujah.
The question was, who it starts with? That was the question put on the table. Who this skill starts with? If you're talking about the wise-minded man, but you go get your hit in verse number 30 because you need to put a name on the table who it starts with first. That's the key point of what he put on the table. He asked the question, and for the national audience, won't get lost of where we're going with this. We're talking about the skills. Who does these skills and understand starts with? You'll get your hit in verse number 30 because that's where you'll get the name at. You get the name who always kicking these things off. So take off that brother, up and coming teacher, brother Nehemiah. You're talking about details. Remember, that details. Got to buy the study to get the details of what's going on.
Yahweh.
Exodus 35 and 30. Mm-hmm. And Moses said unto the children. children of Israel.
Back up and read me verse 29, though.
Not,
we're
not,
Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto Yahuwah. Every man and woman whose mind made them willing to bring for all manner of work.
So what type of mind do you have to have?
A willing mind.
Continue to read.
To bring for all manner of work, which the Yahuwah had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses.
Verse 30.
And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Yahuwah hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Yahazuz.
The tribe who?
Yahazuz.
26:31.
He hath filled them with the spirit of Yahuwah.
Remember, he hath filled him with the spirit of Yahuwah. But what tribe is on the table he's talking about first? Judah goes first. Judah's list. You see what's going on with it? Hey, that's detail. That's bringing it out because people read the passage and they don't respect the order thing. Judah got to take care of his business first. He put it in Judah first. What did he say? When he picked it up at 31, what did he put in Judah first?
The spirit of Yahuwah.
We pick it up at the beginning. Pick it up at 31.
31.
And he has filled them with the spirit of Yahuwah. And wisdom and understanding.
Right. Judah was filled with the wisdom of Yahuwah, the spirit of Yahuwah, and wisdom and what?
Understanding.
What else?
And in knowledge.
And what else?
And all manner of workmanship.
Hallelujah. Well, let me get one more in with you. Why Judah had these lists first? And let's go, what we can get out of that? Who will give me a precept in the book of Judah, right? Let's go on and help you out there. Somebody give me a precept. What Judah got on there? But Judah got on there in 33, verse number 7, Mother D.F. Israel, Steve Roy. Princess Mother D.F. Israel, bring it out for us. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 7. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 7. Then we get back over to you, Brother Tyler. I know
y'all love it.
I just want to drop that in there.
Deuteronomy 33, verse 7.
Hallelujah.
Deuteronomy 33, verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said,
right at Mike right there next to you, Mother D.F. Israel, right in front of him.
Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear Yahuwah, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies.
Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 7. And what was the blessing of Judah?
His hands, Mother D.F. Israel.
You heard it. She said she reading about his hands. So Judah was the one that received these skills and understanding and the wisdom and the knowledge. Yahuwah and his hands, he had it all. All this came from Yahuwah. Judah first one to get this lick. All right, Brother Tyson,
All right, let's get one more on that. He said, we'll be blessed with, real quick, all right, Princess, daughter Yahuwah Israel, get a precept for that. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, pick up that verse 12.
The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12 reads, the Yahuwah shall open unto thee the Yahuwah shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That's what we blessed with, our hands. Work of our hands.
That's what we're blessed with. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, we coming back? Okay. All right. We read that, okay, we back to Exodus chapter 35. All right, Exodus chapter 35. Okay. All right, so we're going to read some historical facts real quick. We'll read some historical facts. We're going from this this book here called From Babylon to Timbuktu by the Rudolph Wins.
That's right.
By Rudolph Wins.
Okay.
We got that over there.
Brother Nehemiah.
Hold on now,
girl. Let everybody get the...
All right. What you bring it on now? All right. We're going to page 90.
Right.
Page 90. All right, pick it up with the middle of the paragraph where it says the black. Right in the middle of that, real quick. Go read it to this. Remember, this is Yahweh Judah. You read
Randolph Winslow, right?
Mm-hmm.
The historical, he's the great historian, Rudolph. Is it Rudolph?
Rudolph.
Yeah, he's the great historian, Rudolph Wintour. He's a great historical investigator about the children of Israel. He had a lot of factual things he went and searched out for. You know, he's an elder man, so he most definitely did some research for us before some of our time, before my time, before I was born. He was into this thing. He know he wanted the children of Israel. We still got to clean him up on a few things, but... You know, that's the voice of the truth when I come in. That's what we do. But he got some good information. Brother Titus about to bring out some of that good old information out of one of his books that he wrote from Babylon to Timbuktu. So bring it on out there, brother, up and coming teacher, Brother Nehemiah Israel. Let's read Prince Nehemiah. On page 90, go down to drop down to the last paragraph where it says the black. We correct everything that need to be corrected enough. Put the words there, but then put it in there.
That's right.
From Babylon to Timbuktu, page 90. At the end of the paragraph.
Right here, yeah.
The black Judah had an advantage over Africans.
Now what we're going to do is, this is what we're going to do. When we read this, right, when you kick this off, we're going to put the words down.
Right.
But then we're going to drop down, because remember, these words, you know, these words are polluted. But the national audience sake, we're going to correct also, by us knowing what's in the book, what's the proper term that should be there. So put the words down, and then we're going to put the correct name of the people that the actual name what should be there. So if you read it, it'll be, so when you read it, it'll kick off like this. The black Jews polluted the word for Yahweh Judah. How to manage over the Africans polluted the word for the Hamites.
Right.
You got it? You with me? Hallelujah.
The black Jews polluted the word for Judah, Yahweh Judah, had an advantage over the Africans, which is a polluted word for the Hamites. They carried their culture.
Right. The Hamite tribe.
Hamite tribe.
They carry their culture, history, laws, and written records with them. This assured them a constant precedent from the development of a higher social organization. Because of the stability of the black, the Jewish was the Yahweh Judah.
Right. Now, as we back up, he said, remember, this part he's talking about, they had assurance down, and he's talking about, he said, their culture, their cultural history laws and written records with them. And he was talking about the book, the Bible. This is what he's talking about right here. This is what they have. Right. This is our written records. Those are our records. Hallelujah.
Who
carried
that culture? Who?
Yahweh Judah. Remember, he's talking about the black Yahweh Judah had advantage over the Hamite tribe.
they got out to carry their culture, history, and law in written writing. He's talking about this book we read right now. Fire. That's what he's talking about. Continue to read that, brother, in mind.
Because of the stability of the black Jewish, which is a corrupt word for Yahshua,
mm-hmm.
culture, the Jews, which is a corrupt word for Yahshua, will not absorb into the.
Now this word is
Atotomis.
Now that, look that big old word up, because you know that ain't the nigger word. So what's that big old word? Ain't a nigger word. So what's that big old word right there?
Yeah, we have for the audience sake.
Yes, yes, for the national audience sake, because and most definitely on that word. You know, he called him, he said nigger. Well, we can deal with that too. We most definitely can deal with that. Matter of fact, we'll touch on that too once he put that word down and get done reading that.
Yahuwah.
It means indigenous native.
Mm-hmm.
A form or organizing in the place or found.
It means what?
Indigenous native.
Indigenous native, okay. So now when we read that word, what they saying right there then? Indigenous, okay. So he's talking about the native people. Go back and read that. Let's get an understanding about what we read. That big old long word, that A word. I ain't gonna bust my brain even trying to say it. It's so long. Is it too much for me to be trying to do it? Put another word in there so we can just go ahead and move around.
And if Judah were not absorbed into the indigenous population,
mm-hmm.
in fact, Judah absorbed some of the native tribes, then Judah, which is corrupt with Judah, made use for every opportunity. They were industrious and skillful people. In the Jewish, which is Judah, the outside Judah, Gahenian, states were found kings, princes, governors, generals, secretaries, treasurers, revenue agents, judges, architects, engineers, doctors, historians, language interpreters, mathematicians, jewelers, sculptors, masons, carpenters, painters for art, goldsmiths, leather workers, potters, armorers, sellers, blacksmiths, agriculturists, etc.
Drop that on out.
I needed some mother's help.
She need a mother's help.
Nebuchadnezzar,
the captain
of the guard had let him go from Ramah when he had taken him beyond the chains and among, beyond, bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Yathar Judah and Yathar Judah, which were carried away captive in unto Babylon.
And so where?
Babylon.
The church was where?
In Babylon.
Who's the church that went to where?
It was Yathar Judah, which was carried away into Babylon.
So, okay, verse number 7.
Verse 7. Now, on all the captains of the forces which were in the field, even they and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor into the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon.
Oh, so.
You know what?
What's up, my dear? This verse.
In that verse 7. Okay.
Let me get a mic, Mom. Let me get a mic. We can hear you real clear.
In that 40, verse 1. It's got Israel and Judah.
Okay.
Not Judah and Judah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
At the end there.
Now
that was carried into Babylon. Israel and Judah.
Okay, so read that again. And let's see what Mother D.F. Israel is talking about.
Jeremiah 40:1. The word that came to Jeremiah to see it from the Yahuwah. After that, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem.
Well, we know it Jerusalem. Don't get stumbling now because you don't know what to say. So right there he says we're carried away captives of, and Mother said, she said
Israel and
Judah. So she said children of Israel. She said Israel and Yahdah Judah, which is what?
We're carried away captive unto Babylon.
Okay, so the question is, right now, she put on the table, was the 10 northern tribes carried away to Babylon and Judah? Was the 10 northern tribes in Babylon during this time, Brother Titus?
What was the question again? Was
the 10 northern tribes carried away to Babylon during this time? Because this is roughly around 500 BC. This is around 500 BC, so we got to find out what the 10 northern tribes at around this time.
All right.
What was the 10 northern tribes at around this time? Now we got to go back. So where did they go? Then we got to go find out where did, we know Judah went to Babylon, but who was with Judah? Who was with Judah that went to Babylon with him? We can read. Now we got to go back. I got to find this one out. I'm going to look into this one because I know it's a deck. I just got to go back and read something and look at something real fast. This one got away from me for a second. It come back to me. It was the top of my mind. If something happened, what this guy put to you like this? I'm going to go ahead and telegraph. The Syrians. Remember, the Syrians took the 10 northern tribes. Syrians took the 10 northern tribes. That's what we got to go read that part, because they was already gone. Now that Judah came around later on, this is in Jeremiah. But we'll put a Daniel 2:16 on that right now, Mother Jeff Israel. I'm going to come back out. I'm going to write that out in a few seconds. Finish reading that, Brother Jeremiah.
Is that Jeremiah 40?
Jeremiah 47.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when all the captains of the forces which were in the field, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon.
Okay, my dear Fitzgerald, read me the book of Daniel chapter 1, verse number 1.
Daniel chapter 1, verse 1.
You turn the mic down some for me, y'all, brother Nehemiah.
Daniel 1, 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, into Judah,
mm-hmm.
and besieged it.
So this is the time right here. You know, Daniel let us know Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, came over there and seized the land of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
The land of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a precept, just to let you know that he came and seized the land of Judah. Because it was something that was going on to the 10 northern tribes already. And that's what we got to pull out. We're going to come back around to that, Mother DFS, but I'm going to deal with that. Let me deal with this one thing right quick, and then I'm going to come back around and we're going to handle that. Come back to you, Sister Sarah Israel. Give me 51. Give me all. I need something else out of Jeremiah. I need something else out of the book of Jeremiah. Where was it coming from? I need something else out of Jeremiah in the book of I think it's Jeremiah chapter 51. I need something else. 51.
Mm-hmm.
And pick it up at verse 48, Brother Jeremiah
51:48. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoilers shall come unto her from the north, said the Yahweh.
Verse
48. Verse 49.
Mm-hmm.
As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall in the slain of all the earth.
Verse
50. Yet they have escaped the sword. Go away, stand not still, remember the Yahuwah afar off, and let Yatai Judah come into your mind.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm saying what I need, but the point we were trying to make out was, I need something else out of this one. I didn't fit. The point we're making is that who was the church that was in Babylon? Who was the church that was in Babylon? And the church that was in Babylon he was referring to was who again? Yadadjuda. Bring it out loud, Sister Sarah, and that mic. You have to bring it out real loud.
Yadadjuda.
Hallelujah. Wow. So the church that was in Babylon is Yadadjuda. That's the church that was in Babylon. So Sister Sarah, Princess Sarah, coming back to you. Bring it out.
On to the book of Acts, chapter 13:1, book of Acts. chapter 13, 1 reading. Now, they were in the Yada Judah.
Mm-hmm. But what it says in the church was all the congregation of the Yada Judah. So they was in a temple, and this was all the congregation of Yada Judah. That's where they was at.
Book of Acts chapter 13, 1 reads. Now they were in the congregation of the Yada Judah that was at Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
Certain
elders
and people
as
Barnabas. And Simeon. That was called Niger.
No.
Which means middle.
That's what they was called. So they was at the church, which the polluted word for all the congregation of Yahdash Judah. And Barnabas and who else?
Barnabas and Simeon.
Right, which is that's Peter. But y'all know today as Peter was called what? What did they call him?
Nigger.
They call them nigger. So that's why I say that's a nigger word that we don't. I mean, we need a nigger word that we understand. Now, I need to help there, brother Tyson. I need something out of the book of Sirach. I need one more word out of there. I can show you this ain't no new word. I need something out of Sirach. What I need out of Sirach?
I'm gonna look to see in my eyes.
You need Sirach chapter 14. You need something out of Sirach chapter 14.
Yahweh.
I need out of Sirach chapter 14. Trying to see in there.
All right, Sirach chapter 14.
Right.
All right, verse 10.
That's right. Bring it out
of
something else.
All right, going to the book of Sirach chapter 14, verse 10. A wicked eye envieth his bread. And he is a nigger at his table.
So let me show you that this word ain't nothing new. But who can pull me out about this word? What this word means? I need some historical document facts about what this word nigger means. I need somebody to pull me out those records that they got about what this word nigger means. Anybody got any historical document facts?
Y'all,
I'm gonna have to be the one to pull it out. Now, come on now, somebody gotta have something with them.
Y'all,
but if you got it, don't hold back. Give me something now.
All right. This is our historical facts.
Right.
On the word, we got naked. N-E-G-I-D.
Uh-huh.
All right. The word naked. You can Google this up. It says nigger. Is an Israelite term.
Not G.
Yeah, thank you. That's what it's all about. Iron sharpens iron. Okay. Not G. Is a Israelite word.
It's
a
meant
word.
What's the word they got there? We're going to use what they have there so we don't lose the people.
All right. It's a Hebrew term.
Uh-huh.
That means prince.
Word means?
Prince.
Uh-huh.
Or leader. Yes.
Well.
It is also the root word for Negro.
Oh, so it's the root word for your Negro. Negro spiritual songs, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we get out of there?
All right, let's finish up. In the Middle Ages, the term was often used to describe, let's read like it is, the religious leader.
Which is the term was used, they say, to describe the religious leader, but they was talking about the chief man. What was the scribe to use to call him? What else? Come on, use some more.
And some project community.
Hold on. What's the word you using now?
And some party.
Yeah, it's a party community.
Nike.
Uh-huh.
Or, what's that, Nike?
Uh-huh,
Niger, yeah. Also appears in the Hebrew Bible to refer to a leader.
What?
To refer to a leader.
To refer to a leader, well.
Or a ruler.
Ruler.
It can also mean prince.
Oh, so the word also can mean prince. Okay. So when we use it, when we see God down reading in the book of Acts chapter 13, verse number 1, what was they referring to them brothers there?
Leader.
As leader. And what else they was referring to them as?
Ruler.
Give me some more.
Prince.
That's right. Give me some more words. What else you get out of there? So the word means prince.
Yeah.
It means leader. It means chief. It means ruler. What else it means?
Captain.
That's right. That's what else that word means. So let's can I get some, let me see some of your what can I get some out of the book of give me some out of Deuteronomy, that brother Nehemiah. Let me see can I pull some out of Deuteronomy. I need some out of Deuteronomy. Let's see if we can pull some out of Deuteronomy. Yeah, I'm handing it back over to Brother Titus because I want to pull some out of Mother DFB and put it on the table. But if I can't see it, I'm lay my eyes on it. I'm going to have to pay to that. I'm trying to see, can I pull some out of the book of Deuteronomy? If I can't pull it out of there, I'm going to have to go over to... He called us another word he called him, right? What was the word he used again now? Come on, bring it out.
All right.
Leader.
Ruler. Captain.
Keep on,
all right. Okay. The term appears in the following Bible passage. Isaiah 13, verse 14. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bring that out. Give me brother Nehemiah, give me Psalm chapter 52, verse number 2. As a matter of fact, my fault, it's at 50, verse number, give me 50, verse number 2, while I look something up.
Psalms chapter 50 and verse 2. Out of Yahweh Judah, the perfection of beauty, Yahweh has shined.
I'm looking for a historical document about something. Here we go. I got it. All right. This is what I was looking for. Okay. Well, we get all warmed up now. Now, what's the word again? What the word means? The word means prince. It means leader, it means chief, it means ruler. Am I missing anything, guys? By all means, shoot it out there. Yeah, all right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, now, we're going to do some historical, just some real quick historical document pertaining to what happened around. Somebody look up the word for me, if you can, and see if it pop out. Look up somebody named Yahya Negro. Somebody look up Yahya Negro. For me real fast, Nehemiah, I know you're quick on your toes for popping that phone, pop, you know. So I need you to look up somebody's name, Yahya Negro, and I need a timeline on it. It'll probably be around the time, right, 1100 AD. It should be around there. If you want to pop that in there, that's cool, too. I'm looking for an Israelite by the name of Yahya Negro. How about that?
Yahya. Yeah, he had been Rabbi, born 1150, died 1222.
See, they put the Rabbi in there, but which year was that? But what did they call him? I mean, what year was this?
1150,
to 1222.
All right, roughly around that time. That's what they estimated. 1150 to 1222. You they got any information about Yahya? What they got about him? Did he say anything about his where he was at?
Also known as Yahya the Negro.
The who?
Yahya the Negro.
So what that mean? He was a what?
He's a Negro.
All right. So what that mean? He was a what?
He's a black man.
Okay, but what's he though?
A Portuguese nobleman.
He was a Portuguese nobleman, but you never gotta go deal with that. You deal with that too.
He was.
You ain't giving me what. So if they call him a Negro, what they were saying about him? In the 1100s in Portuguese, they say he was Yahya Negro. What they were saying? Okay, he's a nigger, but what that mean, man?
He was a leader.
He was a leader. Yeah, come on now. Don't leave me hanging now.
He was a ruler.
He was a ruler. What else he was?
He was a nobleman.
We know he was a nobleman, but what?
He was reputed to
be No. Everything, every word we just got done reading about what the word nigger, negro, nigger, all that means. So you got to be able to. Hold on. See, remember. You have to be able to break this thing down to the point where you educate the people. Because in a time like this, somebody to read over there and to see that, like, yeah, he's a nigger, he's a Negro, you know what I'm saying? But what is they really saying about this, man? He's an Israelite now. Keep in mind, we're talking about an Israelite brother that was in the land of Portuguese. We're talking about historical facts pertaining to our people, where they was at when we were scattered all over the whole known world. We talking about Portuguese. We talking about somebody that was a leader in Portuguese. He sold us out, though. Once you do the history, facts about him. You feel? But he also was a what? They called him a Negro. Why did they call him a Negro? Because what Negro mean? Sister Sarah, what does it mean?
Ruler.
All right, keep on.
Leader.
Uh-huh.
Captain.
Uh-huh. Prince. That's what we need. We need to bring out these things because the person that see that word not realizing, like, just that one word can tell you his position. Just that one word. Yeah, he's a nobleman, but also we need to know who was this man. Continue to read. Now you can go back and read your historical facts there, brother. Come and teach. Brother Nehemiah. Prince Nehemiah. Negro Nehemiah. Ruler Nehemiah. We can put any one of those words there. You see what's going on? So we call you a prince. Yeah, remember, what's the word, what's the Hebrew word for prince? Nazi or Nasir. You see what's going on? So now we can look and say, hey, there's Nehemiah. Look up and say, you said that with a fine-tooth comb. You say, hey, yeah, I'm Nehemiah. But what does it mean? You know what I'm saying? Same way they call Yahya from Portuguese, Negro. What does it mean? Now we catching on what's going on. One word can explain a whole lot what's going on in a certain time. They're going to tell you, you was no rulers in that time. They're going to put a white face on this. You see what's going on? They ain't going to tell you that you was ruling. They don't want you to know that. So now let's get back down to it. Let's get a breakdown. What you reading there, Brother Nehemiah?
Yahya Ben Rabbi, known as Yahya the Negro, was a Portuguese nobleman.
Mm-hmm.
He was reputed to be a direct descendant of the Hebrew Exilites,
mm-hmm,
of ancient Babylonia.
What's the word they use there again?
Exilites.
Uh-huh. Now, that's another word we got to deal with. We'll deal with that in one second. See if we pull that out. Look that word up, Exilites. Look that up, hold what you got, because that's another word that they called up. What that mean, Exilar? What does that mean? Look that word up, Exilar. What does that word mean? Exilar. What we got? Anybody got anything on that word, Exilar?
What is an exilar?
Mm-hmm. What
one of a line of Jewish civil and judicial rulers of exile in Babylon.
So what they saying? Keep going. I want a good breakdown about this word, man, because it's saying something. Remember, I use the word nigger, but we got to bring it out.
Of exiles in Babylon from about the third of the 10th centuries A.D., to whom Jew, which is Yata Judah, in all countries paid tribute.
Okay, so now what does the word escalar mean? What does the word, you got to make sure we understand what we're reading. We're not just reading a bunch of scriptures or a bunch of reading. We don't have no idea what this word escalar means. They said it anyhow. Read it again. Spell it out for me, Brother Nehemiah. I'm going to help you out.
E-S-I-L-A-R-C-H. Escalarge.
And what they say means
the leader of the Jewish community in Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq, during the era of the Parthians, Sasanians, and Abbasid Caliphate.
All right. It's a word in there that they use, and we need to pull out this word. I'm going to help you out here. And Escalar was a Yada Judah civil or judicial ruler of Yada Judah community. It says in Babylon from around the 22nd century to the 11th century. And that's what we're reading about Yaya Negro. That's in Portuguese around the 11th century. The word Escalar is a Greco-Latin term that translates to the Hebrew Rosh HaGolah, which means it means head of the exile. That's what this word means. It means Rosh HaGolah, which means head of the exile. So when they call Yahya Negro Escalar, what they were saying? He's the head of the exile. This was the leader, the nigger, the ruler, the chief man, which was the head of the exile. We all in history. You got to know when you see certain words, where we at? Where are we when we read these historical books? How can we know that's us? They'll call us a nigger or a negro or a Rosh or use words like Rosh HaGolah or Escalar. That's when you know they're talking about us. They gonna come out and say, oh, he an Israelite, or he from the tribe of Yada Jew. They gonna really come out and say none of that. Or they might use the words like Jew. But we know how to deal with that too. What else we can get from that? You go back and read all your historical facts pertaining to Yahya Negro. Mm-hmm. You thought that Escalar.
He was a reputed to direct descendant of the Hebrew exiles of ancient Babylonia, Iraq, that claimed direct descendant from the biblical King David and was Eponius' progenitor in the Ibn Yahya family.
Now, I'm talking about the family. So the Yahya Portuguese family of the Middle Ages, the members of which were prominent in Portuguese, in Spain, Italy, and in Turkey. Certain individuals of the family wore the traditional Negro with reference to the Moors, from whom several of their estates had been obtained. So this is a family. This is a family, and they passed this thing all the way down, like they're supposed to have, but that's what we can know. This is around 1100. 1100 A.D., like 1139, Yahya Negro, who was the chief or the head of the Escalar, which is the head of the exile. They're talking about Yahya Jew. So that's where this word Negro or nigger comes from the Hebrew word, what is it again? Nasir or Nasi. You can look that up too, which means prince, leader, chief, or ruler. Or you can, it also comes from the word
not G. It also means chief, captain, leader, ruler, prince. That's what these words mean. So when you see this word, don't shun away from it. Because it's a meaning behind of it that you might hold on to your position. What he said in the book of Deuteronomy, Sister Sarah, I need something out of the book of Deuteronomy. See, we take this and we read this, but we didn't understand because it was something he said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Sister Sarah. And he said something, pay attention to this, Brother Nehemiah. I want you to break this down to me, what happened to us. 37. Deuteronomy 28, verse 37. That's all I need is verse 37. What we read?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse
37. What we read? Read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 37. Read. Pay attention to this, Brother Nehemiah. Watch this. I want you to give you the breakdown of what's going on with this word.
Going to the book of Deuteronomy 28, verse 37. Read. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Yahuwah shall lead you.
Now, what was going on with this word, Negro or nigger? It's a byword, right?
Yeah,
what made it a byword? What was going on when we were getting our back beat in? What was happening? What was going on? Well, all this time we were walking through slavery, we were getting our back beat in. What was they saying of? In a nutshell, what was they was telling us? Somebody explain that to me.
He wasn't keeping the law, statutes, and
commandments. Okay, that's cool, but I'm talking about what were Esau and his five sons when they were whipping us, what they were saying of? They were saying nigger. So why would they call us niggas and beat our back then?
Was it a
bad word?
No, nigger's not a bad word.
Okay, so but what was going on then? I need something that says, he said, it was a demeanor.
Yeah.
It was telling us then that we are whipping is a proverb. Saying we whipping the niggas. When they were saying they was whipping the niggas like niggas, they was marking you.
Yeah.
They was marking you. By calling you, they were saying you a nigga, but they were saying we whipping the prince. We whipping the ruler. It was a proverb to make fun of it. They got us and they whipping our back. They knew who they had. They said we got Judas. So everybody take this word nigga like it's a bad thing. Because they put it in your mind and took your position from you. You see what's going on? So now today, you hit somebody call you a nigga, you better get off, lay it up, and whip him, and shoot him, and beat him, and do all this. You look back and say, yeah, I am the chief man. I am the ruler. I'm your ruler. I'm your prince. You got to know your position. So now you got to take that back. You got to take back what's yours. Now, we with this word nigga now. Don't look at that word like it's a bad thing. You got to get back into what's yours and say, man, I know when you was whipping me and whipping our father, I know you was trying to make this word because we didn't want us to know. They tell you that this word, somebody has to look up the word nigga and find out what it means and see what they put on it in Latin. Nehemiah, pull that word out again. Now, somebody look up the word nigga and find out what they say it means. Look it up. Give me a dictionary. Somebody pull it out. Let's find out what they say it means, how bad they done whipped us so much and put it in our mind what this word means. Somebody pull it out for me. Anybody pull it out. What we looking up? What word are we looking up?
Nigger.
All right, so what do you mean?
You as an insulting and contemptuous term for black person.
Uh-huh. What's the Latin word for it?
Negro,
what that mean? Yeah, put it in line. We want somebody pull it out for me because we want to investigate this word a little bit more.
And right,
what is? Okay, so what's the meaning of? We just need to put it in light. What's the meaning of?
It means black.
It means black, right? Okay, what else? I need something. I need a little bit more out of what they're trying to say here. Because I heard some words about this word. I'm going to go in and type it in and pull it on out. What you got to say about dear Fishman? Yeah, I know what you want to say.
It got Negro.
Yours say because it's an Arab, the different Arabs was born in. Some going to say Negro. Some's going to say black. Some's going to say African-American.
Those are
bywords. Well, the African-American, now those become bywords. Now, see, we fall in the title of the bywords when we came up. And all the ones that's in the 80s got African-American. In the 70s got African-American. But the ones that's born in the 60s on back, so see nigga on there. Okay, that's what they're going to say. What you got, Sister Sarah?
Used as an insulting and contemptuous term for a black person.
Okay, we got that one out. Okay.
A member of a class or group of people who are systematically subject to discrimination and unfair treatment.
Okay, they warned it down. But this is, let me see, I'm going to pull it out.
An infamous word in current English. So much so that when people are called upon to discuss, they more often than not refer to it as the N-word.
All right, so they're not going to give us what we need, but if you really try to investigate this word, the nigga, they're going to try to say means like down,
racism,
black, they say black people, they're going to use this word. It's something in there that goes more fine. As you investigate this word, they're going to try to say, oh, without color. That's why I was looking for a definition of this word.
That's
now we're getting some work. They define this word to say that you're ignorant.
It's used as a hateful, racist.
We got all that. We need the other stuff. We need all the other stuff they're trying to say. So they try to say it's an ignorant person. Anything else?
The word is first included in Merriam-Webster dictionary, at which time it was defined as Negro, with a note indicating that it was used in derision or depreciation. There has never been a definition like an ignorant person for this word in any subsequent dictionary.
There has never been a definition like
an ignorant person.
So, I mean, they knew this word never really meant an ignorant person. See what I'm saying? Now, but they'll tell you it's an ignorant person. What else?
For this word, in any subsequent dictionary published by this country, nor do we know of such a definition in any earlier dictionary.
So they let you know that this word never meant that, but we know what this word really means when you do the proper investigation. We know this word means prince, ruler, chief, what else? Am I missing something else? No. Captain, that's right. That's what this word actually meant. Now, I ain't gonna hang on that too much longer because that's not the direction we were going. I'm gonna hand it back over to you, brother Titus Israel. See, I'm gonna pull something out from other DF Israel. Chief, you put something on the table. I gotta remember where it was at. Jeremiah, right?
Yeah.
Jeremiah 40, right? Hallelujah. Well, all right. Pick this up from Brother Jeremiah. Titus Israel. I'm going to pull something out from up.
All right. Okay. All right. Brother Jeremiah Israel. Give me real quick.
Let me get one more. I got to get one more in before we go there. Because I need you to pull out something from me, Brother Jeremiah. Before you read that, I need you to go look up this word for me. Let me show you something. Remember, we went to Babylon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look up Afro, what's the word I need, Brother Titus? Afro what? Babylon. I need Afro Iraq. Look up that fucking brother here, Mike. Tell me what you got out of there. Look up Afro Iraqi and Sister Sarah. Princess Sarah, I need you to look up MAKRANIS. I need you to look that up for me. What you got for me, Brother Nehemiah? What you got for me on the Afro Iraqi? Remember, it's the Babylon, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's going on? Remember, he said we the church that was in Babylon, right? All right. Let's find out what's going on.
Afro Iraqis are an ethnic group in Iraq who are descendants of enslaved people and immigrants from East and Sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay, they go watered it down though, but look up what they say they were. Somebody tell me, read that again. I might need a little bit more information on that. That's why I like looking it up too. I think I can get right to it and find out. Read it again though for me.
I'm gonna read the history. It says Afro-Iraqi had lived in Iraq since the 9th century, when the port city of Basra was the capital of the slave trade. They were brought to Iraq for various purposes, including that slaves.
Well, they say they ain't put no AD or BC behind that?
No.
Yeah, they worded it down. Okay, uh-huh. Keep on.
They were brought to Iraq for various purposes, including as slaves, sailors, and laborers.
So these Afro-Iraqis, what land? Now, somebody tell me what Iraq is associated with in an ancient day. Where is that at?
Babylon,
right? So they going to tell you that they came over there in the 9th century, but we was already there. The Afro-Iraqis are the same tribe of Judah. Anytime you see that word Afro in front of a word, we're talking about the tribe of Judah. That's what you got to pay attention to. So that's your Afro-Iraqi that was bought over there. They say now they're going to change the 9th century AD, but we're going to pull out a little bit more than that. What you got for me, Sister Sarah? I'm going to pull something else out.
Macarena?
Yeah, what did it say about the Macarena?
Macarena, they refer to.
Take your mic. Macarena
is may refer to Shedai people. An ethnic group in Pakistan of African descent.
Now what is that?
African descent.
Anytime you see them say something like that, talking about African descent, they're talking about who?
God, our Jews.
That's all you got out of there? Yeah. All right. I'm going to read historical facts about these Macaranians. It says, Negroes in West Pakistan are called Macaranians. So when you see the word Negroes there, who are they talking about? Yahshua Judah. The Negroes are Yahshua Judah. So what are they calling them? Right. Because you got to know how to bring this thing out. So when you see the word, we over there in Pakistan too. So when you see the Negroes in West Pakistan, and they say they're the Negroes right there, you're talking about Judah. You're talking about the leader, the prince, the ruler. That's
right.
So
when we hear the word nigger or Negro, now this is, again, this is new to me. Now that I got an understanding of the area.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get offended when an individual says, hey, what's up,
David? I get offended. Because you like,
how we do call it?
Right, you can't go that route.
Right, I can't go that route.
That was the setup. That was the setup for us.
Right.
That was the setup for the fall for us to look at that word and think it's a bad thing the whole time. They beat you into thinking it was a bad thing.
So that was all true to Esau and his five sons.
Yeah, it's just Deuteronomy. See, now you understand what Deuteronomy 28:37 is about.
So that's why it's important that we like the book of Daniel and Proverbs and all that, getting people understanding.
So go read. Hallelujah as well. You gotta bring that out. If you put it out there, you gotta go read. And all this you're gonna understand, but you see what's going on with this word. See words. If you know the definition of the word, and once you read this book, you'll be able to go back and find out who you are. Now you better go back and find out who you are. All right, Brother Ty, go ahead and pick it up and keep finding that precept. I need to pull out something real quick. I just want to drop that on the table. So now you see this word Negro. You know how to deal with that or what it means, and you can't take no offense to it because they was even called nigger in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. You hear what's going on?
We are well. We are well. All right.
Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. All right, Chris. But Nehemiah Israel, give me 2 Samuel. Give me 2 Samuel real quick. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8. Give me 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8.
2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 8. Now therefore, so shall thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Yahweh of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote and from following the sheep to be a ruler over my people, over Israel.
All right, the question is on the table real quick. Which tribe did David come from?
Yahweh Judah.
Well, can we read that answer? Remember, we got to have a verse.
Bring it out for him, so if he don't know it, just say he don't know
remember,
it.
Remember, let your communication be yay, yay, nay, nay. Anything other that coming to evil. All right. Let's read that real quick.
If you know it, you understand, bring it out. If you don't know it, you just always hear, you know, we keep the ball game rolling.
Right. Let's say you don't know, then you keep it moving. That's it. You don't know. All right. Let's go to real quick. Hold what you got. We're coming back here, okay? We're coming back here. Let's go to the book of Matthew real quick. We'll start off there. We'll go to the book of Matthew real quick. We'll read it to this real quick. We'll go to the book of Matthew. All right. Pick it up at chapter 1. We're going to get one up there real quick. Give me Matthew chapter 1. Pick it up at, let's see where I want. Well, I can come another way with this real quick. What tribe did David come from?
Pick it up in chapter 7. Actually, you said Matthew?
Uh-huh. Well,
we can, you got to come down
where
it is that right now.
You can
get me off
of
Matthew.
But
pick it up.
You're
going to
Acts,
bro.
Okay,
all right.
Acts.
All right,
I got you. Okay, let's go to Acts.
Somewhere around 7, chapter 7, or roughly around 30. Let me take a peek at that. You got me right here. You got Mother GF Israel. Everybody can jump right in and say, what was the question? You know what I'm saying? You got to remember, Mother GF Israel, she rolling.
Yeah, boy.
All right.
Looking for the mother elder.
All right, that's right. Now, something in there. You should be able to find something around in the book of Acts.
All right.
When Peter, the chief speaker, said something about them not speaking about David. Talking about that part.
Yeah, about his tribe.
the tribe of David from. The tribe of David. The tribe of David from. Okay, I'm going to go, I'll go another way with this real quick. I can also get it in Sirach as well. Also get it in Sirach as well, too. Okay. Also get it in Sirach. See what I want here real quick. For the Sirach. Real quick, before I start, real quick, I had first brought Nehemiah Israel. Give me another thing, 2:16, so I'll find what I'm looking for.
You check Acts chapter 7?
Yeah, they're Acts chapter 7.
One in that what you were looking for?
Yeah, it's right about, you know, David, you know, what tribe he being from. That's all I'm going to bring out for the tribe that David comes from. Okay. Give me a day 2:16. So I'll just install real quick. I'll find what I'm looking for. Give me a day 2:16. Give me a day 2:16. First brother Nehemiah Israel.
Daniel
chapter 2 and verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time that he would show the king the interpretation.
All right, let me help you out, man. Let's go to the book of Samuel. So we ain't got to do all that. Let's go to Samuel. It was something they said, it was something that the 10 northern tribes said in the book of Samuel. How about we start there while you look what you look for? Let me add on something to you there, brother. Lead teacher, brother Titus Israel.
2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4.
Hey, what you got? Is that where I was going? Is that where I was going, brother Nehemiah? What you got in 2 verse 4? I'm going to figure that out.
And the men of Yahweh Judah came, and there they anointed David, king over the family of Yahweh Judah. And they told David, the man of Jabez Gilead was they that buried Saul.
But let me see. We can work with that. We can work with
start
that.
In verse 1, 1 through 3, 1 through 4.
Okay, go and bring it up.
2 Samuel chapter 2, 1 through 4. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Yahweh, saying, shall I walk into all the cities of Yahweh Judah? And the Yahweh said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron. Verse 2. And David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, of the Carmelite. Verse 3. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. 4. And the men of Yahweh Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the family of Yahweh Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabez Gilead for there that buried Saul.
Okay. Well, how about we read, let's just go get, you say, what tribe David's from, right? How about we just go ahead and just read 1 Chronicles chapter 2.
We go to 1 Chronicles chapter 2. We go to 1 Chronicles chapter 2. All right. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. Gonna pick it up at. All right.
Pick it up. Read verse number 3.
All right. Pick it up at verse 3.
Again, drop down. Read verse number 15.
First Chronicles chapter 2, verses 3 and then 15. The sons of Judah, Er, Onan, Shelah, whose three were born unto him of the daughter of the Shuach, the Canaanites, and Er, the firstborn of Judah, was evil in the sight of the Yahuwah, and he slew him. 15. Oziel the sixth, David the seventh.
So David is from what tribe?
Yahdah-Judah.
Okay. There we go. So David came from Yahdah-Judah. Now, you want to add something on to that? You can add something on to it.
Hallelujah. All right. Give me real quick, first by Nehemiah Israel. Let's see where y'all become a teacher out of count one. Give me Sirach. Give me Sirach chapter 45. Give me Sirach chapter 45. Pick it up at verse. All right. Pick it up at verse 23 and then verse 25.
And after that, Sister Sarah, hand me the book of Ruth, chapter 4, give me verse number 12, 18, and verse 22.
The book of Sirach, chapter 45, verse 23 and 25. The third in glory, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, because he had zeal in the fear of the Yahuwah, stood up with good courage of mine when the people were turned back and made reconciliation for Israel.
Okay, now what is the definition? Before you read it, we're going to read this from 23 all the way to verse 25. Okay, he said, because of the fear of what? He said, the zeal, right? And the fear of Yahuwah. Now what is it to be after the fear of Yahuwah? First brother Nehemiah Israel?
The fear of Yahuwah?
Yeah, what is the fear of Yahuwah? What's the fear of Yahuwah?
Let me read.
It should be, I know we went over this many times.
All right,
this,
if you don't know, actually know.
Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of Yahuwah is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Wait a minute, read that again. So what they got? That ain't really the number one.
Right.
No. That's wicked work, but that's not number one.
Right.
Read that again, Brother Nehemiah. That's not number one. Read it again.
Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of Yahuwah is the beginning of knowledge.
The fear of Yahuwah is the beginning of knowledge.
But fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Okay. That ain't really telling what the question was asked. Now try 111 verse 10.
Yahuwah.
Try 111 verse 10 first before you find what his daddy said first.
Right.
Then you can work your way down. What did Jesus say, 111 verse 10? What did he say to fear Yahuwah? What did the angel tell David to write the number one answer? That is the fear of Yahuwah. 111 verse 10, Brother Nehemiah Israel, come up.
Psalms 111 and verse 10.
Yes.
The fear of Yahuwah is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
A good understanding have all they that do his commandments.
Oh, most captain commandments. That is what the number one after is about in life. The fear of Yahuwah is keeping them laws, statutes, and commandments. That is the number one after. The wisdom and all that comes when you keep the laws, statutes, and commandments. Now go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Now go to Proverbs 9, verse 10. My brother here, I'll be talking about it when you get there now.
Proverbs 9 and verse
10. Right. In that microphone.
Proverbs 9 and verse 10.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about it.
The fear of Yahuwah is the beginning of wisdom.
It's the beginning of wisdom.
and the knowledge of his righteous, of the righteous is